All right, good morning. How's everyone doing? Yeah, feeling good. Everyone's healthy. Yeah. Maybe had a week like mine and it was like, hello, sinus, right? Hello, allergies, sore throat. This is actually, I'm so grateful. Woke up this morning, it was the first day I was feeling good pretty much all week. So thanks be to God. But you know, it's fall is upon us when everybody starts coughing in unison, right? So glad you guys are here this morning to worship. Want to go ahead and dismiss our kids to Revolution Kids. We are so glad you're here. You guys are going to go and have some worship and fun together. Well, a few weeks ago, joyful sounds of kids. Oh, what a gift. A few weeks ago, my dad celebrated a birthday, and it was a milestone birthday. He turned 60, and one of the joys of being close and living close to my parents is that I can actually see my parents on their birthdays, right? I can't remember the last time that happened. You try to celebrate it here and there, but actually on his birthday. So we went over for dinner that night and to celebrate with my parents. And on the mantle, I saw this card, which some work friends had given him at a little work party that they'd had that day. And it says, 60 years, celebrating 6 decades, 720 months, 3,130 weeks, 21,915 days, 525,960 hours. This is the one that hit me. It all hits you, right? But this was like, whoa. 31,557,600 minutes. These are the numbers that you read and you like know what it means, but you're not sure that you can say them correctly when you actually have to. So that was a practice this week. 31 million. Now, I've told my parents, I told my dad, you know, because this one kind of hit him. You're not old. Old is just a mindset, okay? Old or is always just 20 years older than what you currently are, right? So you're never old. You're never old. But when you put it this way, that's a significant amount of time. It's a lot of time. And as his daughter, thinking about my dad's life, I think a lot of time well spent with friends and family and laughter and chasing after Christ, right? That's the example that he set for me, which I'm so grateful for. But this really got me thinking, right? As someone who has spent about half of the time represented here, right? It really got me thinking personally, am I making the most of the time that has been given to me? Am I using it to the best of my ability to love at all times, to invest in important relationships, to really become and to continue to be the person that God has created me to be? You might be sitting here thinking, well, you're a pastor, so I sure hope so, right? You might be, these are silly questions for me to be asking someone that spends the majority of my working week in the church, right? You might hope that I can answer these questions well. But you know, before I'm a pastor, I'm a wife and a mother, a daughter, a sister, a friend. And before all of that, I am a disciple of Jesus Christ, called to love and serve and glorify Christ in all that I do, and to make sure I am living in such a way that I might grow in deeper love of God and deeper love for my neighbor. So just like all of us called to this path of discipleship, right, these are questions that we can all be mindful of. We all have different jobs, different seasons in life, different responsibilities and obligations, and yet all called to be disciples that live in such a way that we may grow in deeper love with God and with our neighbor every day. Or as if you were here last week, if you didn't hear the sermon last week, go back, listen to the podcast. Matt Bauer set this up really well. Another way we could ask these questions, right, is would my 8-year-old self be proud of who I am today? That's what Matt talked about last week with the kid, the movie. Right? Am I being a good role model? Am I truly living into the truth of who God created me to be? That's another way we could ask these questions. The only way I know how to answer these personally is to take a moment of self-reflection, right? To look at how I spend my time on a regular basis. To look at my habits that I keep and evaluate where I might need to form a new pattern that might connect me closer to God. Because we all have a specific regimen of habits and a pattern of life that we follow, which shape most of our lives. We all have this. Like I said, we might have different jobs, different responsibilities, different rhythms, but we all have some regimen that forms and shapes our life. The question is, are they good habits or bad habits? Are they shaping me to become more like Christ or shaping me according to the pattern of the world and its expectation and ambition and stress? Am I conforming to that pattern and pace of the world or conforming to the likeness of Jesus Christ? Romans 12 reminds us of this. Romans 12, 2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Called to be transformed, not conform. But I believe that unless we are mindful and intentional about how we are living, we can conform to that pattern and expectation of the world without even realizing it. Because the pressure and the expectations and the pace to go and do and serve and produce more and be more, man, we all feel that at one point or another. We're surrounded by this. It's the air we breathe. It's the world we live in. It's the water we swim in, right? We're surrounded by that world and its pace and expectations on our lives. So have you heard the story of the two fish that are swimming downstream? New morning, they're swimming along. Another fish comes along and says, "Morning, the water's nice." And the other two fish keep going and they stop and look at each other and they say, "What's water? What's water?" That's the power of habit. They create a pattern and environment in our life that after a period of time, we don't even realize we are following it. We don't even realize that that's the water we're swimming in, right? Research tells us that as much as 40% of the actions we take in a day are not the result of our choices, but of habits. This gave me pause this week. 40%, fact check that for me. I looked a couple other places. I want this to be wrong because I like to think that I make some pretty good choices and decisions in my day for myself. But if 40% are a result of habit and not my decision, then that's something to be mindful of, right? Because when a habit is formed, our brains actually stop fully participating in the decision-making process. We can do things without even thinking about it. You know this, you've experienced it. This is how we're able to drive from one place to another without thinking about every single turn and which road to take along the way. It's sort of scary. You go into that autopilot mode, whether it's to the grocery or your house or work. I knew that I had sort of arrived and finally felt at home here when I got in my car and I drove from my house to the parking lot to church. And all of a sudden, I'd been thinking about 50 other things, and I realized, oh my word, how did I do that? I don't know. How did I do that? I had finally formed that habit. So we know that these habits are incredibly formative for shaping our daily lives, our daily actions, and really, who we are. So for this series, I want us to consider our daily patterns and rhythms. I want us to kind of take that moment, take inventory of our lives, how things are working, where we could make an adjustment, right? I think in the beginning of a new season, in a time of transition, it's always a good opportunity to kind of take that inventory, right? Whether it's a new school year or a new fall kickoff here in the life of our church, new ministry starting back up, right? Always a good opportunity to take a look at our schedules, our patterns, and to ask some of these questions. to think about how we might develop different spiritual practices that help put structure to those days, to order our lives so we might be oriented and focused toward Jesus Christ. And our goal is that with the help of one another and practicing some of these things, we might be able to form some new habits that form and shape our hearts. They become so easy that they become like second nature. This pattern and way that we live can become like second nature. Because here's the real truth. Our habits, our daily practices, they form much more than our schedules. They really form our hearts. How we spend our time impacts who we become. This forms and shapes our hearts, our passions, our desires, who we care about, right? What we care about. It forms and shapes our hearts. Richard Rohr is a Franciscan friar, a modern-day mystic of sorts. You've heard me quote him once before, a favorite of mine to read and guide some of my devotional time. But he has this quote where he's kind of talked about what we're going for here, this pattern, this lifestyle. I'm going to read it for you. "It seems to me that it is a minority that ever get the true and full gospel in any denomination. Most of us keep worshiping Jesus and arguing over the right way to do it. The amazing thing is that Jesus never once says, 'Worship me,' but he does say, 'Follow me, follow me.' Christianity is a lifestyle, a way of living in the world that is simple, nonviolent, shared, and loving. However, we made it into an established religion and all that goes with that and avoided the lifestyle change itself. One could be warlike, greedy, racist, selfish, and vain throughout most of Christian history and still believe that Jesus is one's personal Lord and Savior. The world has no time for such silliness anymore. The suffering on earth is too great." I don't know about you, but I long for that sort of lifestyle and pace of life that is simple, nonviolent, shared, and loving. I long for that. I try to reach for that. And I know we are all well aware this morning of the great suffering and pain and need that is still very present in our world. I'll be honest, I had a hard time working on this week, knowing that in the backdrop of all of this, I'm watching the updates from Dorian, and I'm hearing from you all about family that you have in the Carolinas and Florida that you're worried about, seeing the reports coming back from the Bahamas, tens and thousands of people that are now homeless. And I had a real hard time going, how can we speak to that, right? Is this important? And the answer is yes, because it's this, our daily habits and routines that shape our hearts. What we're talking about here is a heart issue. And if I'm going to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, whose heart is broken for what breaks God's heart, who sees the pain and need of my neighbor and responds rightly and with love, then I got to be forming that and opening myself up for God's grace and mercy to be present in a very, very real way. Because it would be so easy to put my blinders up. I was not directly affected by anybody in that path. But that's not what God calls us to be. That's not how God calls us to be and to live in this world. This is a heart issue, friends. So we're going to worship here together. And I invite you to receive this song however you need to. Stand and worship, sit and pray, receive it as a prayer and reflect. But let's worship together. You may be seated. I want you to hear the words of this parable. Hear and receive. This comes from Matthew chapter 13. "That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea, and great crowds gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat down, and the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, and another 60, and in another 30. This is the parable of the sower, or the farmer. And what I love about this parable is that it's one of the places where Jesus says, hey, here's what this parable means. You're like, oh, thank you, finally. So the parable of the sower, of the four types of soil, or the farmer, what we learn here is that there are four types of soil, right? There is the hardened soil on a path, there's the rocky soil, there's the soil filled with thorns, and then there is the good, fertile soil. And in this parable, the sower or farmer is the one who shares the word and love of God. And notice the sower doesn't worry about where or when and how the seed is planted, but just shares it openly and freely with love, knowing that it is better received in some places than others. But that's not the concern of the farmer. The farmer's concern is to spread and sow the seed with love nevertheless. So sometimes that we learn in this parable, the word falls on a hardened path, or on a hardened heart. And the word cannot be received at all. It's as if the evil one comes and snatches it away, like a bird on the path. Sometimes the word falls among rocks. It's received eagerly and desperately. The roots take hold quickly. But because the soil is shallow, when trial or tribulation comes, the growth cannot withstand. And sometimes it falls among thorns. The thorns are those cares and distractions of the world which choke out the truth, and it can't take root. And finally, some falls on the good soil, bears fruit, and yields a great harvest. 30, 60, 100-fold. So in Jesus' day, a harvest of 30 would have been considered more than enough. A good harvest, plentiful, profitable, great. So 60, even 100-fold, that's miraculous. That's the work of only an abundant God. So notice that it is God, it is always God who is the harvester, who brings about that growth. A God who is good and faithful and abundant in mercy, who brings growth in surprising and unexpected ways. That is the God we trust, right? We do not bring about the growth. We as disciples of Jesus Christ who are called to share this love and truth with all, we are the sower, right? Sharing it openly and freely. We're not concerned about how it's received or where or strategically when, right? God's job is to bring the growth. And we know from experience that it's received better from some than others. I think what this parable begs us to ask this morning is, which type of soil are you? We can't worry about how it's received from others, but what we can worry about is the condition of the soil in our own hearts and how we might be open to receiving the goodness, the mercy, and the truth of Jesus Christ. Right? This is a heart issue. So which type of soil are you right now in this season, this morning? I can tell you from experience, I've been in each one of these places, right? Are you hardened soil on the path with a hardened heart by pain or stresses of this life, frustrated, maybe tired or burned out? Are you the rocky soil, eager and wanting change? And maybe taking to it quickly, but the roots just aren't quite deep enough yet. And when the struggles have come, you've fallen away quickly. Are you the thorny soil, concerned and distracted, overwhelmed with the cares and obligations of this world, that you hardly feel like you have enough space in your life for God to show up or even move, for this truth and goodness to take root? There's just not enough space. Or maybe this morning you are sitting here, the good soil, the fertile. As I said, I from experience, have been in each one of these places in different seasons of my life. But in this series, I want us to take a look at some habits, some practices that might go along with it to begin tilling the soil of our hearts. Some new habits and rhythms and practices that we might be able to work on together so that we might be able to truly say, here's my heart, Lord. Speak what is true. Here's my life, Lord. Here's all that I have, Lord. Speak what is true. Right? Because our habits form more than just our schedules. They form more than just our daily routines. They form our lives, which form our hearts. They form our hearts. Now, I want you to hear me. I'm not trying to add, you know, each week we're going to be talking about a different practice. I'm not trying to add any more to your to-do list. In fact, like, that's where I am right now. Like, I would not receive that well. I don't want anything more to do. Because the truth is, the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ is a gift that we cannot earn, no matter how much we do anyways. But what I am suggesting is that we learn how to reorder or restructure, reclaim some of this in-between time. You know, we all feel like we just don't have enough time in a day, maybe. I don't have enough time to do some of these things. But the truth is, in the midst of family stuff and work and school, and we can reclaim, restructure some of our in-between time and use that to reorient and refocus our lives toward the purpose and mission of Jesus Christ, right? Toward receiving that truth. Receiving that, it's making room in our lives, making room in our hearts so that what we might actually be able to receive that truth with joy, so that then God can bring forth the growth. And our hope is that as we practice these together, so talking about a different one each week, creative ways to pray, not very time consuming, but creative ways to pray or read our scripture, or to think about serving others, or what it looks like to rest, to take a break, to say enough is enough in our society and pattern of life. Taking a look at each of these things each week, and then encouraging you all in your house groups, in your families, individually, to experiment with them, to practice them throughout the week, to help one another think about what that might look like in your life. The common goal being that after days and weeks, months, maybe even years of adopting some of these new life-giving habits, we might actually see the growth and presence of God in our lives, in our church, in our community, in our world, in a real and life-giving, fruitful way. That fruit of love and joy and peace and patience. Right? I've told you, I've confessed to you all before, I need to work on patience. I need to work on some of these things. So experiencing that joy and that fruit, I long for a life that is simple and loving and shared, right? Actually experiencing this in our daily lives. So come back, right? This is setting the foundation But come back each week as we discuss maybe one of these different habits that we can experiment with together. And this week, taking a look at your schedule, at how you spend your time, and maybe begin asking yourself that question, where am I right now? What type of soil am I? And begin praying for God to soften our hearts, open our eyes, and open our ears to see new opportunities, new ways, simple ways that we might restructure and reorient our lives so that our faith may become and continue to be a lifestyle, one that is transformed by Jesus Christ, not conforming to the pattern of the world, but clinging to the truth and goodness of Jesus Christ. Amen, right? Yeah? All right. Would you pray with me? Gracious God, we give you thanks for who you are. We give you thanks that you are a God who desires to show up in our lives in real and big and powerful ways, because sometimes we might have our blinders up. Sometimes we might be so overwhelmed and concerned with keeping up or doing or pleasing everyone else, God, that we don't have enough room to listen to your still small voice, reminding us of who we are, reminding us of your great love, and reminding us to embody that kindness and humility in all that we do. So God, we ask that you would be with us, that you would help us, give us the courage we need to do some of this work together so that we might open ourselves up, free ourselves up a little bit more to experience your grace in powerful ways. God, we know that that is a free gift of grace, and so we are so grateful for that, Lord. But we just ask, Almighty God, that you would continue to come and be at work so that we might continue to live into the truth of who you have created us to be. And we pray all of this in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Hope you all have an awesome, great week as we continue next week talking about second nature, how we might develop these good habits that become like second nature, because this is a matter of heart, right? A matter of our hearts. So go now, my friends, and be the revolution. Go in peace.